This is Bruce Collins, your host for the Bible Studies program. Again, greetings and welcome to our lesson today. We're certainly glad you've tuned us in. Now, if you would like to contact me, I'll give you my mailing address and website address at the close of the program. Remember, the website does have this program on it, and it can be re-listened to there. And I have a weekly meditation as well as other information on the website that you might find helpful. So if you would like those addresses, I'll give them to you at the close of the program. Now, we've been looking at prominent people in the Old Testament. And in doing that, I have not gone through the prominent people of Genesis because we touched on them as we went through the book of Genesis. But I have been looking at David and Solomon. And we've also, last time, looked at Ruth, who was a Moabitess and who ended up, because of her willingness to leave Moab and to follow her mother-in-law back into the land of Israel, she became a woman of faith who ended up in the line or the lineage of the Lord, not only the lineage of David, but the lineage of the Lord. And she's a picture of the grace that is shown to those who don't deserve it, because the Moabites were people who were not to enter into the congregation of the Lord through the 10th generation because of the way they had treated Israel. And yet here's a girl, a young woman, who has lost her husband, comes back into Moab, marries Boaz, a kinsman redeemer, and becomes a blessed woman, by an honored woman, by being able to be in the lineage of David and ultimately of the Lord. And I suppose the key verse with regard to Ruth is why, when she speaks to Boaz, a picture of the Lord, she says, "Why have I found grace in thy sight, seeing I am but a stranger or a foreigner?" And so we are reminded of the grace of God in reaching people who are undeserving with his blessing, and particularly with the gospel. But now I would like to spend a little time on another woman by the name of Hannah. She's a woman of prayer, and I particularly believe that she was a woman who not only wanted to produce a male child that would be in her lineage so that the reproach of being barren would be taken away from her. I believe she really wanted to produce a male child that would be used of the Lord in a positive way in the history of Israel. I think she prayed for more than just a male child. As we go down through this, it seems to me that that is implied in what we are going to read. And so the Lord answered her prayer. Now, I want to read about Hannah in 1 Samuel chapter 1. Her history is toward the end of the period of time that we call the period of the judges. And as she gives birth to Samuel, she's giving birth to the last of the judges in Israel. And so from 1 Samuel chapter 1 and verse 1, we read, "Now there was a certain man of Ramathaim, Zophim, of the mountains of Ephraim, and his name was Elkanah, the son of Jeroham, the son of Elihu, the son of Tohu, the son of Zoph, an Ephraimite." And if you work on the lineage, you'll find out he was not only an Ephraimite, he was from the tribe of Levi. And he had two wives. The name of the one was Hannah, and the name of the other, Peninnah had children. I'm saying that wrong, but you'll have to excuse me. She had children, but Hannah had no children. The man went up from his city yearly to worship and sacrifice to the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. Also the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, the priests of the Lord, were there. And whenever the time came for Elkanah to make an offering, he would give portions to Peninnah, his wife, and to all her sons and daughters. But to Hannah he would give a double portion, for he loved Hannah, although the Lord had closed her womb. And a rival also provoked her severely. Now her rival, of course, was the other wife. And so her rival provoked her severely to make her miserable, because the Lord had closed her womb. So we have bullying even in family lines in the Old Testament. And so it was year by year, when she went up to the house of the Lord, that she provoked her. Therefore she wept and did not eat. And Elkanah, her husband, said to her, Hannah, why do you weep? Why do you not eat? And why is your heart grieved? Am I not better to you than 10 sons? So Hannah rose after they had finished eating and drinking in Shiloh. Now Eli the priest was sitting on the seat by the doorposts of the tabernacle of the Lord. And she was in bitterness of soul and prayed to the Lord and wept in anguish. And she made a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look on the affliction of your maidservant and remember me, and not forget your maidservant, but will give your maidservant a male child, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and no razor shall come upon his head. So he was going to be designated as a Nazarite, a one who had a special responsibility before the Lord. And it came to, and it happened as she continued praying before the Lord that Eli watched her mouth. Now Eli spoke in her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought she was drunk. So Eli said to her, How long will you be drunk? Put your wine away from you. But Hannah answered and said, No, my lord, I am a woman of sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor intoxicating drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. And it's interesting that Eli would condemn her for drinking because he didn't condemn his own sons for doing the same thing. Do not consider your maidservant a wicked woman, for out of the abundance of my complaint and grief I have spoken until now. Then Eli answered and said, Go in peace, and the God of Israel grant your petition which you have asked of him. And she said, Let your maidservant find favor in your sight. So the woman went her way and ate, and her face was no longer sad. Then they rose early in the morning and worshipped before the Lord, and returned and came to their house at Ramah, and Elkanah knew Hannah his wife, and the Lord remembered her. So it came to pass in the process of time that Hannah conceived and bore a son, and called his name Samuel, saying, Because I have asked for him from the Lord. And we trust the Lord will bless to us the reading of his precious word. Now you'll notice in this passage that Hannah had a desire. All women in, of course, in Israel had a desire to have children. It seemed as though there was some thought that God was cursing them if they did not have children. And not only did they want to have children, they wanted to have male children. But Hannah wanted to have a male child that made a difference. And it's nice when we are, as Christian families, producing our children, when we pray for that in our own families. Some of us have been disappointed because some of our children have not made a difference. They have been rebellious, not to us, but to the things of God. But we all pray for children that will make a difference. Now, I have some children that do make a difference, and I'm proud of them. I'm talking about a difference spiritually. So she ended up producing a son who became the last judge in Israel. And she dedicated him to the Lord. I can't imagine giving birth to a child and nursing him until he was weaned and then taking him to a man who did not have a wife, which apparently was the case with Eli, although I stand corrected. He had children, so he must have had a wife. We just don't read about her or the wife in Eli's past. But Eli wasn't a very good father when we look at the way he raised his own children. And she took him to Eli and gave Eli the responsibility of raising this child in Shiloh, where the temple, the tent, and the Ark of the Covenant were the place where Israel was worshiping God at that time. And so she gives him to Eli, although she goes up year by year to the time in times of feast days and apparently sees him, but she does not raise him. Now, I'm convinced that Eli ultimately ended up adopting Samuel, because Samuel later on is able to offer sacrifices that only somebody from the Aaronic priesthood would be able to offer. Samuel was a Levite, but he was not of the line of Aaron by natural birth. But he seems to have offered sacrifices that Eli and priests of the Aaronic nature would be able to offer. And so I believe Eli really had adopted this child, and I don't know what the legal form of adoption was at that time, but I believe Samuel became the adopted child of Eli. But Hannah was the woman who prayed for this blessing, and she considered this child to be a blessing, and she gave him to the Lord. But even though this child had been prayed for, and even though this child was a special child, this child still had to have a time in his life when he came to know the Lord. You'll notice in our passage we talked about Elkanah knowing his wife. And then if we were to go back into 1 Samuel chapter 3, we would find out that Samuel did not yet know the Lord, nor was the word of the Lord revealed to him. He did not yet know the Lord. The same kind of intimacy with the Lord was needed as that which is pictured by the intimacy between a man and his wife. And those of us that are saved know the Lord Jesus in much the same way. That's why we talk about having a relationship with him. Now, we don't mean to imply in any way that it's the intimacy of a man and a woman in a physical way that we're talking about, but we're talking about that link that comes with knowing or being linked intimately with somebody in a relationship of love and in a relationship where we can trust each other. And those of us who are saved do trust the Lord. So the word of the Lord had not been yet revealed to him, and we find that he was probably about 12 years old when the word of the Lord was revealed to him. And so in chapter 3, we find out that according to Josephus, a Roman historian, the Lord probably appeared to Samuel when he was about 12 years of age, the age when Jewish children become adults as far as their culture was concerned. And we read in chapter 3, verse 21, "Then the Lord appeared again in Shiloh, for the Lord revealed himself to Samuel in Shiloh by the word of the Lord." And I hope today that as we're talking about Samuel and realizing that even though he was raised right and dedicated to the Lord before he was really one who knew the Lord, yet he came to a point in his life where the word of the Lord was revealed to him. He knew the Lord. He trusted the Lord. And at that point, he became one that even Israel knew had the word of the Lord. And I hope that we who are listening to this program today know the Lord in the same way, through the word of the Lord, in the same way that Samuel did. The word of the Lord says, "He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." And when we believe on the Lord, that's when we first come to really know the Lord. Now, our Heavenly Father, we pray for thy blessing upon this program. We thank thee for thy love and for thy salvation and for thy word. We just pray for those who are listening today as we give thanks for thy mercies. In our Savior's name, amen. Now, our address is Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. My website address is bdcministries.faithweb.com. bdcministries.faithweb.com. And we do thank you for listening.